Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Kuf Chaf Hey, and we will begin in Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud at the Mishnah. As the Meiri and the Chasam Sofer tell us, actually the subject of our Mishnah, which discusses the Tum and Tahara of the bones and extended halachas about Tum and Tahara of Mes and other Tumas, is not really the primary subject of Masechta Chulin. However, we began this perek by discussing the halachas of Nevela and when Nevela is Metama. So we now continue discussing other halachas that are related to Tumah and Tahara. Furthermore, as we will see, our Mishnah and Gemara discuss extensively the issue of akulis. The akulis, the exact definition of akulis is a thigh bone. But our Mishnah, when it speaks about akulis, is not specifically only speaking about the thigh bone. Rather, it's speaking about any bone that has in it marrow. And says the Mishnah, akulis hames, a marrow bone of a mess, or kulas hamudoshim, the marrow bone of a carbon that became either pigul or noiser. For as the Gemara Masechta Psochim teaches us, Chazal said that the carbonus that become either pigul or noiser should be tameh. The reason being that Chazal said that if it's pigul, it should be tameh, because they were concerned that, let's say, there's a kohen who dislikes a Yisrael who brought a carbon and will want to hurt him, and the way he'll hurt him is by, when he brings a carbon, he'll make it pigul. So Chazal said that if you come into contact with pigul, you are tameh. So, and as we discussed already earlier this week, they were very concerned about tumah. So that would be a deterrent from someone making another person's carbon pigul. Similarly, they were concerned that people would not eat up the carbonus in a timely fashion and allow them therefore to become nicer. So to avoid that problem, Chazal said that all carbonus that are nicer should be tameh. I actually saw an interesting question posed by the Achronim. They ask that we know that throughout Shas there's a rule, Milsud Lo Shchicha Lo Goz Barabonim. And certainly they ask that someone should make a carbon deliberately pigul, or somebody should deliberately leave Noitzer, is very unlikely. And why would Chazal make a Gzeirah in such a situation? So I saw a very interesting teretz. There are two types of gzeiras Chazal. Sometimes Chazal make a gzeira because they want to protect, they want to make sure that we don't come to another aveira. And sometimes Chazal make an independent gzeira, like our situation, where Chazal decided that we are worried about the kahanim who are going to hurt other people, or who are lazy and won't dispose of the kabbanis in a timely fashion. So they explain, in that type of a gzeira, even when it's a milsad l'shchicha, gozbar abodan, Chazal will perhaps make a gzeira. So again, when we have a marrow bone of a mace, or a marrow bone of kachim, hanegebehem, if somebody touches them, bein stuvim, bein akumim, whether they're closed, or whether they have a hole, tumim. These bones have the ability to give off tumah. And as will become very clear in the Gemara, although our Mishnah only speaks about Tumas Masa, the halacha that we're discussing is not limited to Tumas Masa. The same halacha that we're discussing will also be about Tumas Maga. The same halacha will actually be by Tumas Masa as well. And in fact, the Mefarshim go into great
detail in trying to understand. So if so, why does our Mishnah only discuss, why does our Mishnah only mention Tumas Maga and not Tumas Masa? And they explain that actually the Mishnah did not have to mention anything. But as we're going to discuss in our Gemara extensively in our Shia today, the point of the Mishnah really is to differentiate between Tumas Maga and Masa versus Tumas Oil. So the Mishnah has to say that it has Tumas Maga so that we should be able to know that Tumas Oil is different. The question, however, is, so why did the Mishnah choose to teach us this halacha by Tumas Maga and not teach us the halacha by Tumas Masa? So Mefarshim explained, and it's very much connected to what we discussed in our previous year, that Tumas Maga is somewhat more limited than Tumas Masa. Because as we discussed in our previous year, Tumas Maga is only applicable if you could get to all parts of the thing that's Tameh. And therefore, because of that, the Mishnah chose to speak about Tumas Maga, and we will understand that certainly the same halacha applies by Tumas Masa as well. Kulas Nevela, the Kulas Asheretz. But now we speak about a Nevela and Asheretz. A Nevela and Asheretz, the bone of a Nevela and the bone of Asheretz actually are not Matama. What is Tame by a bone and by a Nevela and by a Asheretz is the meat. And therefore, says the Mishnah, the Kulas HaNevela and the Kulas HaSheretz are not Tame, unless, says the Mishnah, and the Gebehem, only if they're spumim, if they're closed, the Torah, because then there's no access to the meat, and the Kuvim Kalshu, but even if they have the smallest hole, Metamba Maga, then we'll have a Tumas Maga, because then we'll have access to the meat, and because we have access to the meat, to the marrow in the bone, even though it's the most minimal access, it's only a hole the size of the smallest hole, then it's going to be metamba. A few points need to be mentioned. Firstly, the Mefarshim point out that why are Tumas Maga, why is Tumas Sheretz and Tumas Nevela separated into two cases? Because our work is that a Nevela is Metama B'Maga U'B'Masa, whereas a Sheretz is only Metama B'Maga. So that's why the Mishnah separated them into two separate cases. Another point that the Mefarshim, that we need to discuss, is as we've been learning earlier in the Masechta, and that is the concept of Shomer. And if something is a Shomer for something else, then we learned at the beginning of our parak, it has the ability to import and export Tumah, and not only does it have the ability to import and export Tumah, but actually it also is mitzarif to the shear of Tumah. So why over here isn't the bone around the marrow considered a shomer? The answer is that and why isn't it the mitzarif to the shear? So Mefarshim explained, the reason it's not mitzarif to the shear, because the halacha that it's mitzarif to the shear was only said when it's a tuma, it was only said by Tumas Oichlin, not by Tumas Nevela. And given that we're speaking here about Tumas Nevela, that's why it's not mitzarif to the shear. The reason why it's not considered a shomer is, as I said a moment ago, it only could be considered a shomer when the food that it is a shomer around is accessible. But here, if it's completely closed, so that food is not accessible, and when that food is not accessible, it does not become a shomer. The question is, so if so, the beginning of our parak that taught us the halachas of a shomer, taught us the din of shomer by a fruit, a peel around the fruit. Beginning of the parak we learned as a shomer. Tosfos asks, but there too, the peel covers the entire fruit, and therefore it should not be considered a shomer, because the actual fruit is not accessible. So Tosfos answers that the pasuk that teaches us the halacha of Tumas Oichlin
says Akol Zera Zerua. So says Tosfos, that's talking about grain kernels and beans that are planted. Kederech Shibnei Adam Motzim Zriya. And we know that when fruits are planted and the seeds are planted in their shell, therefore fruits in a peel, even though the fruit is not actually accessible, the halacha is metama, does have a din of a shomer. But normally, as the case we're discussing now about a kulis, that if the bone is completely enclosed and you can't get to the marrow inside the bone, it isn't considered a shomer. Says the Mishnah, Menayin Shafa Masa, how do we know that this kulis that's completely enclosed isn't going to have at least tumas masa? It can't have tumas maga because you can't touch the bone, but maybe it should have tumas masa. Tamiloimer and the gev and noisa. Eshabolachal maga bolachal masa. Loi bolachal maga loi bolachal masa. Tumas maga and tumas masa travel together, and since here, as we just said, there is no tumas maga because the food is not accessible. Therefore, there is no tumas masa. There is no tumas masa either. Actually, going back to something that we discussed earlier in our shiur, we can now understand why our Mishnah did not mention at the beginning of the Mishnah, when we spoke about the Kulos HaMeis and the Kulos HaMekdoshim, Tumas Masa. Because it doesn't need to. Because once we've established that it has Tumas Maga, and now our Mishnah says that Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa always travel together, so obviously if it doesn't have Tumas Maga, it will not have, in the beginning of the Mishnah, where it was Tumas Maga, obviously there will be Tumas Masa as well. One of the most common Tumas that there are by a mess is actually Tumas Oil. And there are a number of examples of what is considered a Tumas Oil. Certainly, if somebody has part of his body extended over a mace, that's called Tumas Oil. Or if the mace is extended over the person, that too is considered Tumas Oil. But then, and perhaps the most common case of Tumas Oil is a situation of Oil Hamshacha, which means that the person and the mace, or the kezias of the mace, are under one roof. And that is known as Oil Hamshacha, and that too is included in the category of Tumas Oil. There's another very important halacha, which we're going to speak about in our shiur today, that is included in the category of Tumas Oil. And that is the halacha of Tuma Bekas V'Oila. That if a mace is in a box, is in an enclosure, and there's less than a tefach, set of air, separating between the mace and the covering, then the halacha is Tuma Bekas V'Oila. Or another way, that's called the Tuma Ritzutza. And the Tuma goes all the way up, and there is no separating from that Tuma. It goes all the way up. Says the Gemara, the Deek, as we learned when we learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah, when it spoke about the first case, about the Kulos HaMeis, said that it's Tuma Smaga. So says the Gemara, that only Tuma Smaga, Avol Mahaloi, there will not be Tumas Oil. Ask the Gemara, Hechidon, exactly why is there only Tumas Maga and not Tumas Oil? Idik a Kezayis Boser. If there is a Kezayis Boser around this bone, ask the Gemara Oil Nami Litme. There will be Tumas Oil. Because a Kezayis Boser, as we just finished saying, is Metama Tumas Oil. It must be like a Kezayis Boser. But there is no Kezayis Boser around this mace. Continues the Gemara. Read the kezayis mark with a snim. If there's a kezayis, a marrow inside that bone, so as we just said, the halacha ought to be the tuma bekas v'oila. Again, there ought to be tumas oil in place because of the halacha of tuma ritzutza that I just said, and therefore oil nami litma must be, says the Gemara, the lack of kezayis mark with a snim. That we're referring to a situation that there isn't a kezayis of marrow in the bone, and the achronim discuss how can we know that there indeed isn't a kezayis of marrow inside, and I saw a number of answers. One, A simple is that we're referring to a situation where it's a very old, dried out bone, and therefore we could be certain that there is no marrow inside. Another pshat that I saw is that the entire bone is less than a kazayis big. And since the entire bone is less than a kazayis big, and obviously if the bone is in a is not even a kazayis big, there can't be marrow the size of a kazayis in such a bone. Another pshat that I saw is that we weigh the bone, and we know that by weighing the bone, we could see that there isn't a kazayis inside. And a third and a final pshat is that indeed what happened was that perhaps somebody was in the same place as this bone, and when he was in the same place as the bone, he might have become tumas oil, and he wanted to indeed know if he has a tumas oil. So the way he was able to determine if he had a tumas oil was by opening the bone, and he discovered that there wasn't a kazayis of marrow in the bone. Continues the Gemara. V'mayich b'fnim malam rucha b'chutz. Says the Gemara, if marrow inside a bone has the ability to generate meat outside, so then even if there is no marrow, according to some Rishonim, according to Rashi it seems, but the fact that it has that ability, so that it could do it even without any marrow, just with some residue, or according to other Rishonim, even has the most minimal amount of marrow, again, Evam Al Yehi, the fact that it could generate meat outside the bone should make it have a din of Kazayis Basar, that there should be Tumas Oil, Boil Nami Litma. Amar Rav Yehuda B'Rei Rechia, Zoy Semeris, by understanding our Mishnah, and saying and understanding that the Mishnah speaking about a case of saying that the Kulis Hames only has Tumas Maga, and as we said, also Tumas Masa, but not Tumas Oil, it must be that Zoy Semeris, Moich B'Befnim, Ein Amal Aruch B'Chutz, does not have the ability to create any meat on the outside, and therefore we only have a bone, which is Matam B'Maga B'Masa, not B'Oil. Says the Gemara, so B'Maya Kimta, how have we explained our Mishnah? That we're speaking about a bone that doesn't have, like a kazayis, does not have any meat on the outside, any a kazayis of meat on the outside, nor does it have a kazayis of marrow in the inside. But ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're explaining our Mishnah, then we need to go a step further in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that b'mukdashim, by the bones of the Kabbanis Pigel or Neisser, it's going to be Tameh. But what is Tameh by a carbon? The meat is carbon by is Tameh by a carbon. But here we're saying that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there is no kazayis of meat outside or inside the bone. So therefore the question is, amai matama? Why would it be Tameh? And ask the Gemara, actually, let's go a step further. V'su, kilius nevelu v'kilius asheretz. The Mishnah said that when we speak about the bone of a nevelu or the bone of a sheretz, so the bone itself, as we explained, is not tameh. The only thing that's tameh is the marrow, but we also learned in the Mishnah, it's if that bone has a hole, what should make a difference if it has a hole? Kinikfu, even if it has a hole, a mai matamu, why would it be tameh? It is, we don't have a kazayis basar. Without a kazayis basar, it's not matama. Answers the Gemara Holokasha. The way we're going to explain the Mishnah, Reisha, the Reisha speaking about a situation, the leka kazayis, that's why the kulius hames is not matama ba'oil, because we don't have a kazayis basar. Save for the case of the mukdashim and the other cases by the nevela and the sheretz, where there is a kazayis of marrow. And the way, and what is the Mishnah teaching us? And as the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara. If the Mishnah were speaking about one situation, whether it has a kazayis or it doesn't have a kazayis, our Mishnah would be very understandable. Because the purpose of the Mishnah would be to teach us the difference in halacha that there is between a nevela and a sheretz versus Mace and Mugdoshim. But now that that's not what the Mishnah is doing. that the first case of the Mishnah talked about where we don't have a kazayis basar. The other case of the Mishnah speaking when we have a kazayis basar, it must be said to Mefarshim that the Mishnah is coming to teach us something else. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Reish Kamash Malan. The first case of the Mishnah, but a kazayis of the mace is coming to teach us the Moyach, the Mifnim, and the Malam, Aruch V'Bechutz. Just because there was Moyach in the bone, doesn't mean that there's going to be flesh on the outside. And because it doesn't mean that there's going to be flesh on the outside, that's why it doesn't have Tumas Oil. Mugdashim, what is the halacha by Kachim coming to teach us, Michael Masmoy? Shimish Noiser Milsehi. That if something had in it Noiser, it is considered a basis, it's considered connected to the Noiser, and therefore has on it the Tumas Noiser. And therefore the bone that had in it the marrow of Noiser has the din of Noiser. And says the Gemara, actually, that's something that we learned. Dama Mari Baravu Amar Yitzchak, Atzamis Kadoshim, Shishim Shu Noiser, Metamin. As you die, the bones that had in them Noiser have a Tumas Noiser, Hoya Venasis by Bosses Ladavar Asur. So the question is, Ramari, Mari Baravu is actually teaching us what the Mishnah already taught us. So what is Mori da Moira teaching us that we didn't know already? So the Rishonim respond that Ramari is coming to teach us that even we would think that the only time the bone of Noiser has the din of Noiser in its tummy is when there is actual meat left in it. Teaches us the Mishnah that even if there isn't, teaches us Mori, that even if there isn't that, and even if there isn't bone left, even if there isn't meat left inside, since it's served nicer, it has the din of nicer. Nevela, and what is the chiddush of the case of nevela? It's come to teach us that afgav deka kazayis, that even though there's a kazayis of meat of marrow in this bone, nikfa in. Still the halacha is, only if that marrow is accessible will there be tumah, loy nikfa, but if that marrow is not accessible, loy, there will not be any tumah. So that's how the Gemara explained the various cases of the Mishnah. Abaye said the way to understand the Mishnah is somewhat different. Loy lam, Abaye, because Abaye holds, if there's marrow inside, even if there is no marrow now, or even if there's only very little marrow now, it will make meat on the outside. And therefore, since it will generate meat on the outside, there ought to be Tumas oil. So why in the first case of the Mishnah, when we speak about the marrow bone of a mace, is there no Tumas oil? There's only Tumas maga. V'hachem ma'iskinen b'shishofa. We're speaking about the marrow bone that was scraped. And since the marrow bone was scraped, there the halacha indeed will be that there is no tumas oil. So our Mishnah indeed is speaking about. So Abaye is agreeing, explained to Rishonim, that the first case of the Mishnah is where there was no kazayis of marrow in the bone. But normally that wouldn't be enough, because it still could generate meat on the outside, and therefore there ought to be tumas oil. Here it was scraped. And therefore, given that you don't have a kazayis marrow, and it was scraped, it won't generate meat, that's why there's only tumas mago masa, not tumas oil. Look at Rebbe Lozer. And Rebbe Lozer actually taught us this halacha, Dom Rebbe Lozer, kula sheshafel orcha. If somebody scraped a bone along its entire length, tamei, it's still tamei. Because even though it was scraped along its entire length, it could still generate regenerate meat. However, if l'rochva, it was scraped along the circumference, there's a strip along its entire circumference that was scraped, then it's tahira. That situation, it can't regenerate meat. V'simonach, and says Rav Elazar, where do we find a similar thing? By dikla, by a tree. That by a tree, the same thing is that if a strip of bark was scraped along the entire length of a tree, that bark can regenerate.
But if a strip of bark around the circumference of a tree was stripped, that bark cannot be regenerated. And therefore, our Mishnah, when it was stripped along the entire circumference, cannot regenerate, and therefore there is cannot regenerate meat, and therefore there is no tumas oil. Rabbi Yochanan, however, Rabbi Yochanan has a different interpretation of the Mishnah. And as the Mefarshim explained, what's pushing Rabbi Yochanan to give a different interpretation, they explain, is because Rabbi Yochanan is the man the Omer throughout Shas that doesn't like to have a Mishnah speak about two different situations. And in the two interpretations that we've had in our Mishnah, both of them have been based that the first case of the Mishnah is where there is no Kazayas, and the next case is where there is a Kazayas, which is something that Rabbi Yochanan cannot agree with. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan explains the Mishnah as follows. Lo'ilam deki Kazayas. There is a Kazayas of marrow in the Kilyus HaMes. And that's the case in all of the Kilyus of the Mishnah, that there is a Kazayas of marrow. Aye, if there's a Kazayas of marrow, we ask the question, so if so, why is there no Tumas oil? In fact, Mal Aruchim V'chutz, and therefore it has meat on the outside, and there ought to be Tumas oil. And indeed, says Rabbi Yochanan, Umay Negei the Tani, when the Mishnah said the word Negei, it means Mahal, that indeed there's Tumas oil. Ask the Gemara, Mimayat Mifnit, Mal Aruchim V'chutz, if Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that whenever there's marrow inside, it could generate meat on the outside, so then the din of the Mishnah make koyus nevel with koyus asheretz. That the Mishnah says that they only are metama if you could get to the meat. If it has a hole, ask the Gemara, kilay nikfu nami, even if it didn't have a hole, that loch ought to be a maitar, why they tar? That marrow will generate meat on the outside, answers the Gemara. On Rabbi Yom Bagid, on Rabbi Yochanan, hocha my skin, kigoyim, and the Kazayas Mayach HaMiskashish. The Mayach, the marrow in those bones, dried up. Gaba mace, by a mace, it makes no different Tumah V'kas Foila. Tumas mace, as we said, if there is no hepsik of a tefach between the marrow and the bone, there's Tumas oil because of Tumah V'kas Foila. Nevela, Kivin HaMiskashishu, by Nevela, however, if it dried out, Nikva in, only if we have access to the meat, because it has a hole, then will there be tuma? Why nikva? But if not, it won't generate meat on the outside. So the only meat that we'll talk about is the meat that's inside, but we have to be able to get to that meat. And we only can be able to get to the meat if there's a puncture in the bone. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravin, Vitem Rabbi Yosi bar Ovin, Gemara now is going to try to support what Rabbi Yochanan said, because actually Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us a tremendous chiddush. Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us a chiddush that tumas oil and tumas maga are really connected, and the Gemara seeks to find support for such a concept. Because the Mishnah says in Sechta Olos, Hanegei b'chatzi kazayis. If somebody's touching a chatzi kazayis of a mace, or mal chatzi kazayis, and he puts part of his hand or part of his body above a chatzi kazayis, or chatzi kazayis mal olav, or chatzi kazayis is mal over the person is tummy. So the Gemara makes its point. If we're going to say that tumas oil and tumas maga is considered one category, b'shem hachim it's tarif. That's why here we have a combination of tumas maga and tumas oil. They could combine to form tumah. However, says the Gemara, Eli amitrei shmeinenu, if we're going to say that tumas oil and tumas maga are considered two distinct categories, mimitzdarif, can they combine to create tumah? But nan, doesn't the Mishnah say zeklal kol shemishem shem echad? When tumas are considered from one category, mitzdarif, they can combine the tumah and make tumah. However, when the Shnei Shemus, they were from two categories, Torah, they don't combine. So, how must we explain our Mishnah, which is very much in line with Rabbi Yochanan saying, Elamai, we're going to say that Tumas Oil and Tumas Magichat Shmohu is one category, and therefore they combine. And that's for our Mishnah, indeed, even though the Mishnah only spoke about Tumas Maga, the Loch will be that we're talking about Tumas Oil as well. But ask the Gemara, Amos Sefer, let's learn the Sefer of that very Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Avohan gave a Chatzik Kazayis. If somebody's touching a Chatzik Kazayis of a mace, the Dava Akam Mal Olov Al Chatzik Kazayis. And there's a roof, Oil Ham Shocha that I spoke about. There's a roof, one common roof over the person, and another Chatzik Kazayis of a mace, the person is tall. Ask the Gemara, Ichat Shmahu, if we're going to say the Tumas Oil and Tumas Maga are considered one category, Amai Tahor, why is he Tahor? They ought to combine. It must be, because Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil are not one category. Says the Gemara, if they're not one category, why in the Reisha do they combine? So the Mefarshim asks the obvious question. The question that we're posing, that from the Reisha it seems that Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil combine. And it is safer that it says that Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil do not combine. Is an independent question, nothing to do with what we're discussing in today's shiur. So why isn't that question an independently difficult question? What does it have to do with our Gemara? So the Mefarshim answer that if we didn't have, well, if we weren't focused on what we learned in today's shiur, we would say that there are two types of Tumas oil. There's a regular oil, and there's the oil hamshocha, which I spoke about a moment ago. And Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil are one category, but Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil hamshocha are not one category. And therefore, in the Reisha, we were speaking about a regular Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil, they will combine. In the Sefer, when we're talking about Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil Hamshocha, they do not combine. But that's as long as we didn't learn Rav Yochanan's Chiddush. But once we learned Rav Yochanan's Chiddush, that expands and says that Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil are always considered one category, then the question is a very strong question. Then why, why in the Sefer of that Mishnah we just learned, do the Tumas Maga and the Tumas Oil not combine? And therefore, because of this question, the Gemara offers a whole new interpretation of that Mishnah. Arav Zera, the Tumah Ritzutz ben Shtei Megdolim Eskina. The Reish over there is speaking about a situation where we had two closets, Dein B'Nein Pesach Tefach, with a very cramped area, less than a tefach of space between those two closets. And the mace, the Chatzik Kazayis mace, is there. There, when the person sticks his hand, doesn't touch the mace, but just puts his hand over that Chatzik Kazayis, even though technically it ought to be considered a Tumas Oil, it's really not considered a Tumas Oil. It's considered Negihi. Because that is a special type of Tumas Oil, that type of Tumas Oil is mitama, is in the category of Tumas Maga. So now, the way we're going to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Actually, Tumas Maga and Tumas Oil are two separate categories. And that's why in the Sefer of that Mishnah, Maga and Oil indeed do not combine. In the Reisha, Maga and Oil did combine. The Reisha is speaking about a very unique type of Tumas Oil, with this tumah in between the two closets, that type of Tumas Oil is in the category of Tumas Maga, to the exception of all other situations. So now we're back to where we started. Rav Yochanan's entire explanation of our Mishnah was based on explaining that our Mishnah holds that Maga and Oil are one category. But we no longer have a basis for such an explanation. And therefore, again, ask the Gemara, Uman Tana the Karel Oil Nageya, who is the Tana that puts Maga and Oil into one category? So the Gemara says it's a different Tana. Rabbi Yossi, he represents the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Tana, Rav Yossi Omer, Meloi Talvit Rakus, if you have a ladleful of a decomposed corpse, the time of a mago of a master of a moya. Actually, the halacha of decomposed corpse has some very unique halachas. One, the Mefarshim say, it's only if it's pure mace. If the mace wasn't buried naked, and therefore when he decomposed there's other parts of him left, in parts mixed in, there won't be this special tumah. Furthermore, this halacha only applies when the mace was buried whole. But if Rahman Slan, the person who died, was missing a limb, again, this halacha wouldn't apply. Machlokes Rishonim, how much do you have to have? One handful or two handfuls in order to have this tumah? Actually, this Gemara is the basis for a very interesting question. The question that the Paiskim discuss are the status of mummies in halacha. Do mummies have the ability to give off tumah? Even though, obviously, the mummies are goyim, and there are different halachas when we speak about the tumah of a goy, but that the tumas mess of the difference between the tumas mess of a goy versus the tumas mess of a Jew is only regarding tumas oyel. Tumas mago umasa also apply by the tumah of a akum. And therefore the question is, could kohanim come in contact with a mummy? And they use our Gemara as a proof that they are tumim. Because our Gemara speaks about this mace that could decompose and turn into dust. So we see that only when it turns into dust are there special halachas. As long as it doesn't turn into dust, it's considered a full-fledged mace that is metamasuk, even if it's a goy, it's metamba magu amasa. So the Gemara makes its point. Bishlama, the massive oil, when we have this handful of mace dust, this tumas mass and the tumas oil, because what palm lelakule, he's touching, he's carrying the entire handful, he's under the same oil as this vakama malakule. Elvin nageya halay naga bakule, he's not touching all of it because each particle of dust is a separate particle, and as the mafarshim say, even though perhaps it's all in one spoon, and that one spoon combines it, so mafarshim explain that the Mishnah, the Brisa says Moli Tarvid, and it doesn't indicate that they're all combined in one spoon. So it doesn't have to be speaking about such a case. Elash Ma'amino, my Negeya, that there is no Tumas Negeya, there is only Tumas Oil. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that when it says over there Maga, it means oil, and that will be a proof that Maga and oil are actually one? Let's read the words. Metanu b'Maga m'masu b'oil. So we see Ktani Negei, Ktani Mal, that oil and Negeya, that oil, so Maga is Maga, and oil is oil. The Farshim asked an interesting question. Our Mishnah, and we spoke about this in yesterday's Shir as well, taught us that Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa always travel together. And we but here we're saying that by this handful of mace dust, there is going to be Tumas Masa, and there is no Tumas Maga. We said that they always travel together. So the Mefarshim explain that when does that rule apply? That's only when there is something, when there's a halacha in the Hilchas Tumah that say that there should be Tumas Maga and there shouldn't be Tumas Masa. Or there's something blocking you from being able to have Tumas Maga. Like we said in the previous year, you can't actually touch the mace in that case, and since you can't touch it, so there's no Tumas Maga, there's no Tumas Masa. In our case, however, it's just a technical problem that each particle is separate. In such a case, we don't say the rule that Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa travel together. So, Amar Abaye, so to ask this question, how do we explain that, Braisa? Lo amata mitafach, when there's less than a tefach between the person and the mace, That's called oil negeya. Lamala mitafach oil greater.
So the way to understand, according to Baiz, as follows. As we said, the dust of the mace is not matam of a maga, because as we keep on saying, they're each separate particles. There is only tumas oil. But the Gemara is explaining, Abai is teaching us, that there are two types of oil. There's an oil when it's less than a tefach between the mace and the person, and there's oil when there's more than a tefach. And therefore, and as Reb Chaim Brisk explained, when there's less than a tefach, it's more in the category of maga. It's not actually maga, but it's closer to the category of maga. When there's more than a tefach, that's a pure oil. And that, but the, and those are the two cases that the Mishnah speaks about, Rav Yossi speaks about. But indeed, a regular tumas maga, because each particle is separate, will not be. Rava has a different way of explaining it. I feel a ma'al mitefach nami oil nevi'i. Rava is not comfortable in distinguishing between if there's a tefach or more than a tefach between the person and the mace. Because, as the Mefarshim explained, Rava says that throughout Shas we have a concept of good asig and good achis that bring up an item or bring down an item, making no difference of how much of a distance there is between the items. First, so therefore, how do we explain Rav Yossi's statement? Rav is going to say as follows. Maga and oil that Rav Yossi speaks about are both tumas oil. But even though they're both tumas oil, there are two types of oil, as we keep on saying in our shir. There's one situation, tumas oil, where the mace or you are directly above each other. And then there's what we keep on speaking about, the oil hamshacha. Oil hamshacha is that you and the mace are under the same roof. And Rav says that even though both of them are in the category of oil, they're very different types of oil. And therefore, when Rav Yossi speaks about tumas maga, he's speaking about when the mace or the person are right connected to each other. When Rav Yossi speaks about tumas oil, he's speaking about an oil hamshacha. However, what's relevant to our shir is Rava will now say, according to Rava, we see that it's all considered tumas maga. We see that tumas oil and tumas maga is one and the same, which is very much what Rav Yochanan said in our Mishnah, that even though the Mishnah, when it spoke about Kolius Hameis, the Kolius Medoshim, about having Tumas Kolius Hameis, having Tumas Maga, it actually means Tumas Oil as well. Amar Rava, Menon Minanala, from where do I know that even if there's more than a Tefach between the Mace and the Oil, it's still in the category of Tumas Maga? That's not. Rav Yossi Omer, Chavilim Meikel, the way their beds were made, where they used to have a frame, and then they had a bunch of ropes, intertwined meshwork, that were you laid on. So says the bright Mishnah, Rav Yossi Omer, it's actually a Braisa, Chavile Mita, if the interlaced ropes of a bed, or Surige Chaloinus, they used to have the bars of a window, also made in that type of meshwork. Chaitzim ben Abayis Leah, they could serve as a separating between the first floor and the upper floor. Shloi tachnas tumah tzad sheni. If there's tumah on the top, it prevents tumah from going to the bottom, or vice versa. Person al pnei meis ba'aver, but if they were spread in this airspace over the corpse, hanagei k'negen anekes, somebody touches the area opposite a hole in that meshwork, he's tumah. But if he touches where there is no empty space over the mace, he's taller. So as Rava makes his point, hey chidon, ilayim lamat mitefach, if we're going to say that this rope or window were less than a tefach above the mace, even if he's touched an area where it isn't, with a hole directly over the mace, mace b'ksusahu, since this is so close to the mace, it should be like a mace in his tachrichim, a mace b'ksusay metame. El laf,
and it's the ma'alim tefach, that there's a spread, there's this area of a tefach in between. And yet, Rav Yossi says that somebody who's touching the area above it, where there's an empty space above the mace, it's considered like negei, like he's touching the mace. So we see that Rav Yossi holds that even when it's above a tefach, that tumas oil is still called nogeya. Abaye disagrees. Loyal l'matam tefach. There's less than a tefach between this and the mace. We asked if there's less than a tefach between this meshwork and the mace, that should be considered mace b'ksusu. Mace, says the Gemara, it's not the same as a mace in his tachriche. Why? Mace b'ksusu mevatalei, haylo mevatalei. A mace, when he's wearing something, becomes connected to the mace. When, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. This is an independent bed, it's an independent window, and therefore it doesn't become battle to the mace. So, therefore, according to Abaya, this brisa could be speaking about a case where it's within a tefach. And therefore, since it's within a tefach, Abaya, true to his position, will hold a tumas negia. But when there's more than a tefach above the mace, he won't call it tumas negia. But ask the Gemara, if Abaya is interpreting that this brisa is speaking that there's a less than a tefach between the mace and the meshwork, then another halacha that we learned in today's shir ought to kick in. That the heavy betuma tumuna bekas fa'ila, that we say whenever there's less than a tefach, we say tumur tzutza tum bekas fa'ila. So the Gemara, that isn't an answer, and therefore it should seem that Rav is correct that there must be more than a tefach. So the Gemara, Ksavar Rav Yossi tumma tumuna in bekas. Rav Yossi doesn't subscribe to the concept of tumma bekas va'ila, even if there's less than a tefach between the mace and the thing above it.